Thank you for tuning into our weekly message at Kennedy Road Tabernacle. My name is Zio Moradi, and I am the executive pastor. Join us now for our message in progress.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And good morning. It's wonderful to be back here. Oh, do I have memories of our offices here, beginning with Pastor Ron Hembry, and then with dear Al and Grace McClellan. I wonder if Grace is here this morning. She said she was going to come to one of our services. Maybe the next one. And it's just great to be back here. You know, this church, when we first went to India, was such a supporting church. And what you saw on the screen this morning, I thank you, because of your wonderful offerings and donations. Now, I don't know how much you know about India. India now is the largest democracy in the world, two-thirds the size of the United States, and has already reached over 1 billion people. The population is tremendous, but technology, since we first went to India, has improved tremendously. But I don't have to tell you that, do I? Because if anything goes wrong with your computer and you pick up the phone, you talk to India, right? Statistics show that one out of every six in our world today is an Indian. But India is a complex country because of the caste system. Now you say, what is a caste? A child's destiny is determined before they're even born. I remember when we first went to Calcutta and opened our school, they said you can't educate a low-caste child. They don't have the mental ability to learn. But aren't you glad that God is no respecter of persons? And I walk into our hospital today, which you just saw on the screen. See doctors and nurses, teachers in our classrooms, pastors from low caste, from the slums of Calcutta. And now, because of God and because of education, they have been raised to the status that they are now. And what to tell you about Calcutta this morning, the poorest city in the world. Now, I want to tell you that Calcutta is in India, but India is not Calcutta. There are many, many beautiful cities in India. But Calcutta being so small, 9 miles long, 4 miles wide, 22 million people, 1 million children sleeping on the streets of Calcutta. But you know, there's one scripture in God's word, and I love it this morning. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them who deserve it, but it is the power of your hand to do it. Everything that you've seen, as I mentioned on the screen this morning, is because of faithful donations by the people across our churches in Canada and the United States that have given and given and given and given. And that's why missionary offerings are so important. Faith promises are so important because God blesses those and God blesses a missionary giving church. Well, August 1954, a very, very young couple stood on the SS Mauritania ship going to Calcutta, India. Now, we were invited to go to Calcutta for 1 year. Mark was a youth evangelist. In fact, that's how I met Mark. My father pastored in Vancouver, Canada. In fact, my parents were Canadian missionaries in Japan, and I was born there in Tokyo. And Mark came to Glad Tidings in Vancouver and held a service, and that's where I met him. Here we are. The Sunday before, in New York, Mark preached in Glad Tidings. Now we were expecting to go for 1 year, evangelists. All crusades were sent up through India. And the pastor's wife was asked to close in prayer. She came forward. She put her both hands on our shoulders. Oh, she prayed a strange prayer. She prayed, God, make this couple a blessing to India for years to come. And she drug out the years. I said to Mark going home, what does she mean, years to come? We're only going for 1 year. But after 2 months, we arrived in Calcutta, and I can remember so distinctly getting off that ship, saying to Mark, what can a young couple do in this city? And him saying, no, we can't, but God can. Started in a tent, bare crease of ground, night after night, the crowds were small, then they began to grow. And then the monsoon rains came, we couldn't stay in a tent any longer, moved to an upstairs hall. And there was a nightclub underneath. They said, hell downstairs, heaven upstairs. So true. Night after night, souls were saved. Then it was time to build a church. No church had been built in Calcutta in 100 years. And property was very, very difficult to get. The only property available was the property where we had owned we had the tent services, owned by a Muslim family, and they weren't going to sell. But aren't you glad this morning? Prayer changes things. That old Muslim gentleman became such a dear friend of ours. He said one day, you know, preacher, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to sell you the land. My family are all against me. Christmas Sunday, 1959, the first church was built in Calcutta. In 100 years, what rejoicing there was. But, you know, everything got too small. School got too small. Church got too small. We knew we had to move to larger quarters. We searched and searched, and there was nothing available. One day, Mark came home very excited, and Mark was the type, if God told him something, nothing changed his mind. And he said, I found the land 4 blocks square. And I said, where did you find that large piece of land? He said, on the main street of Calcutta. I said, impossible. We've searched the main streets of Calcutta. Oh, no, he said. It's an old cemetery. I said, a what? An old cemetery? They're not going to give you a cemetery. The burial board will never give you a cemetery. He said, no, they won't, but God will. And you know, Calcutta is very much further from us in time. Services are all over. Every state in India has a different language. They come to Calcutta to find work. And in 8 different languages today, in different parts of our building, services are going on. And over 5,000 people are worshiping and praising God. That's why I say this morning, impossible is one of God's favorite words. If you don't believe it, write it down. Impossible is one of God's favorite words. But you know, as we started to work in Calcutta, James chapter 2 became alive to us. How can you tell anyone God loves them when they have nothing to eat, no clothes to wear, no comforts of this life? Can you tell a family living on the streets of Calcutta God loves you, turn around and tell you that nobody loves us or we wouldn't be here? We started in education. You know, children, poor children, didn't afford to have education. And so we started with the schools, rather small. And today, as you saw on the screen, we now have 32,000 children in schools. I call them our little evangelists. As I travel through the 11 states when I'm in Calcutta and see those precious children, I realize getting the children, parents come to see the children participate in our services, and they are one for Jesus Christ. And then our feeding programs. Dear ones, we don't know hunger in this country. Families lining up on our street feeding program hours before the food comes. In our schools, the only food, the only meal they get in the whole day. I have a lovely lady traveling with me, Nancy Gibson. She'll be at the book table. I have 2 books. Pathway to the Impossible was written after Mark died, as I had to face so many impossibilities. And the other book was written, Woman of Courage. Now, the reason why I want you to buy those books is if you want a miracle in your life, that book will help you to have faith. But most of all, for $10, it feeds a child for 10 days. A few months ago when I was in Kelkenny and walked through the feeding lines, I asked our people, don't even all only read the book, but pray for the family that you were feeding. And I walked down those feeding lines and I think, what family in Canada or America are praying for this family? Because, you know, everything we do, whether we feed, whether we medically treat, whether we educate, it's for one purpose, and that's to win that family for Jesus Christ. And then our hospital. What an arm of evangelism. 5 chaplains going from bed to bed every day. Leukemia. You heard about it this morning. Leukemia, one of our worst killers. We give 500 children every month blood transfusions. Pastor mentioned about the woman in the Bible. I think of it every time I walk into a ward. I say, Jesus, that woman only touched the hem of your garment. You felt it go out, she felt it go in. And she was healed by the power of God. I can't tell you this morning how many children in our hospital are healed by the power of God. And that we're believing it for Emma, that in that hospital room this morning, she will feel that healing touch. And she will reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And then cleft palates. I have never seen such faces. The trouble is in India, if a child is born deformed, they feel in their Hindu religion in reincarnation that curse is passed on from generation to generation. That mother can't even go to the well for water with the other women. I walked into the ward one day and saw a woman crying beside her child. Mother, why are you crying? All she did was this. I looked down, I've never seen a face like that. We have started rural clinics from our hospital. This is one of our latest arms of evangelism. Rural clinics under the auspices of our hospital in villages that are Muslim or Hindu villages. They could not build a church. We could not even build a Christian school, but we can build a rural clinic. They welcome it. Children dying from minor diseases. But you know what? Once we get the favor of the villagers by treating their children, by treating the families, on Sunday, the doctor's table becomes the pastor's pulpit, and we have church. And it's been a marvelous way to bring the gospel to those closed villages that they have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I said, Mother, I knew she had come from this rural village close to Calcutta. And I said, Mother, tomorrow that child will come out of that the operating room with a beautiful face. Sure enough, we kept the child for some time in our hospital to do dental work. And then that mother took that child home to that village. Can you imagine? The curse is now lifted from that family. Why? Because of Jesus. And that's the way we're bringing Jesus into those villages. By our medical ministries, feeding, education, blind children. I saw them. Nobody wants a blind child. It's the worst curse. Take a little cup, drop them in the city of Calcutta. God, give me a blind home. 200 beautiful children. I love those children. 5 of them were operated on in our hospital. I said to the doctor, when the bandages were taken off, will they see some better than others? And when the bandages were taken off, they looked up at the lights. Hadn't seen light in all of their lives. In Hindi, light is bati, 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 bati. They loved the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. We held hands that day in the hospital and sang that beautiful song. prostitution. 10,000 girls sold into prostitution on the outskirts of Calcutta. I don't have time to tell you, but God is helping us to reach those girls. Do you know what? Their men, wicked, came to our hospital. Didn't come to a government hospital, came to our hospital. Will you build a clinic? Will you start a clinic in the middle of the red light area? Right, in the middle of the red light area. And one of our Christian doctors, lady doctors, said, I will go and sit there every day and treat those ladies. My daughter Bonnie is very instrumental now in getting in involved. God gave us a property. We're building a hope house. We're believing God to supply money for that hope house that we can take those girls and their children out of prostitution. But every day, that doctor is witnessing to those girls that Jesus loves them. One of the girls, 12 years old, told my daughter, I was 12 when I came here and I'm 16. I don't know how many abortions I've had. Tears running down her face. Please get me out. Mother Teresa was a lovely little lady. Brought all her patients to her hospital. I was in the hospital one day before she died. Our doctors treated her. Beautiful lady. She said to me these words I'll never forget. It's not how much you do, but how much love you put in the doing that counts. I said to her, Mother, if you don't put Jesus' love in the doing, all our work is in vain. She said, yes, that's it. She took my hand in her 87-year home. She opened my fingers one by one. She said, when you help the poor, you do it unto Christ. That's it. That's it. When you give that missionary offering, you use your hand. And you're doing it unto Christ. For doing does not count unless love motivates it. And loving does not count unless doing demonstrates it. You can't love Jesus without doing something about it. I told you we were in the 11 states of India. What a joy it is to go up the 7 states of Northeast India. They look more Oriental than they do Indian. I went up there for a big pastor's conference, our general superintendent, Bible school student. Said, I'm going to take you somewhere, Auntie, you've never been before. Largest cemetery in the Eastern world. Thousands of graves. Japanese coming over from Burma during World War II. Said these 7 states belong to us. The largest battle, thousands of graves. But as I walked into the cemetery, there was a large arch. Stood beside that arch. And I read the words, go home and tell them, we gave our today for their tomorrow. I said, God, 50 years now, over 50 years. We've given our today for thousands of tomorrows. But then I thought of a grave in Calcutta. Mark died so suddenly. I stood beside that grave on a hot June day. And you have to, the grave has to shovel by shovel. I said, God, I cannot stay. But I thought of that song, Amazing. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my soul, my all. I said, God, I'll stay. Investment in lives. Important. When I see our pastors now, our doctors, our nurses, our teachers. Buildings crumble, but investment in lives for eternity. Went into Hallmark store one day and saw a sign on the wall. I said, you might sell cards, Mr. Hallmark, with that sign. I'm borrowing for missions. You know what it said? If you love enough, you give your best. You give your best. Invest in the kingdom of God. Pays the best dividends. Money is the currency of men, but faith is the currency of God. When you give to missions, you invest in the kingdom of God. Thank you, and God bless you.
We hope that you have enjoyed this week's message. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.krt.org. Thank you and God bless.